we ask and receive this evening, that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. There is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this evening. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. We receive the truth of God's word with meekness of heart and with simplicity. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, Christ, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Mark's gospel. Look at Mark chapter 16. Look at Mark 16. Let's look at Mark 16, verse 15. Let's start our study from there this evening. Mark 16, 15. Mark 16, 15. Mark 16, 15. Are you there? Are you there? Look at Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be what? Damned. And he says, let's read 17 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And these signs shall follow. Everybody together. 1, 2, 3, go. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? Recover. Let's read that last line again. 1, 2, 3, go. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, who are the they? The they are those who believe. From verse what? 16. He that believeth is baptized and is saved, but he that believeth not shall be what? Condemned. So this is Mark's summary from the 40 days teaching of Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, right? Have we seen that? Are we here? Beautiful. Look at Matthew's gospel. Look at Matthew's gospel. Matthew's gospel 28. Matthew's gospel 28. Matthew's gospel 28, verse 18. Matthew's gospel 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, go ye therefore, and what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to what? Observe all things. Let's read together, 21, 2, 3, go. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, the word they're teaching is the word we started investigating under the series of the name of Jesus. Are we together? And we're able to see the different shades of that word. Didaskalia, didaskolos, right? Didache, right? And we're paying attention, or we've been paying attention to didache in recent weeks or recent days, so to say. And then we're trying to examine what didache is, and how did that actually applies to our Christian faith. And we said the phrase that qualifies the name or the word did that actually is what? The mode of what? Teaching, right? Beautiful. So when it says teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, Are we together? Are we here? So we looked at the word didache, didasko, didache, didaskalia, didaskolos, and all of that. And so in verse 18, it says, all power, the word there, power, is the word what? Authority, right? All power, that's what authority is given unto me in heaven. And the next, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Look at Luke. Look at Luke 24. Look at Luke 24. Look at Luke 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 24, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet hath spoken. He says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things that ye see, and to enter into what? His glory. Let's read 27 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And beginning at Moses. Is that a mode? Is that a mode? Is that a mode? Okay, so look at the beginning. Number 27. 1, 2, 3, go. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So we see Jesus set a template for our study. We see Jesus set a template for our study. We see Jesus set a template for our study. I'll say that one more time. We see Jesus set a template for our study and our teaching as believers. So he says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets. So it means that Jesus began from the beginning. Are we together? Jesus began from the beginning. So Jesus started from the beginning. So he began at the beginning. That seems like tautology, right? Almost tautology, right? He began at the beginning. Before, when they say you began, right? Ideally, you should begin somewhere, really. Anyways, you can begin from anywhere, really, truly. But he began at the beginning. So Jesus began, or beginning at Moses. Okay, let me say it this way. Jesus beginning at Moses. Is Moses the beginning? Is Moses the beginning of scriptures? Yeah, so with Jesus, so and beginning at the beginning. Are we here? Right? So Jesus began at the beginning. Let me show you a quick example of what beginning at the beginning entails. Look at Matthew 17 or Matthew 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 3. And it says, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Are we together? So they came to ask him a question. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? And Jesus answered and said unto them in verse 4, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them what? Male and female. So they came to Jesus to ask him a question. Oh, master, right? Is it lawful for a man to put a is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause or for any cause, so to say? He now says, Have ye not read? Now the word they read is the word anaginosko. Right, anaginosko. I'll give us that spelling quickly. The word there read, anaginosko. Right, Paul uses that same word in Ephesians chapter 4. Right, so the word is A-N-A, anaginosko. Right, anaginosko. A-N-A-G-I-N-O-S-K-O. So it says, Have ye not read? So look at how Paul uses in Ephesians 4. If I'm not mistaken, Ephesians 4 quickly. Ephesians 4:3, verse 4. Yeah, so it says, whereby when you read, look at verse 3, Ephesians 3:3, how that by revelation he had made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye anaginosko. When you are naginosko, right? Ye may what? Understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. That's the same word Paul uses. So go back to Matthew 19. So he says, have ye not read? So it means that the word there, anaginosko, which you see as read, we will not just speak of surface reading. Are we together? Yes, because for them to have known. Okay, look at verse 5 of that same chapter. Look at verse 5. He says, and he said, for this cause. Look at verse 7 before we go back to verse 5. Verse 7 says, then say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of what? Divorcement to put her away. So they were able to quote Moses that, oh, this is what Moses said. Oh, let me ask you, dear saints, for them to have known what Moses said, it means that they most likely read. But Jesus now asks them, have you not read? So it means that the reading Jesus will ask as a question will speak of a comprehensive reading. Are we together? An accurate reading. A comprehensive reading that might entail reading together. Reading as a whole. Right? So they said unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and put her away? Look at verse 8. Jesus said unto them, Moses, because of the what? Hardness of your heart. Suffer, that word there, suffer, this word I will speak of aloud. Are you there? Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, allowed or permitted, so to say, are we here? So Moses permitted. Why? Because of the hardness of their heart. So it means that there are a lot of things or a couple of things that Moses will permit because of the state of the heart of the people he was relating to. Are you here? Right? So he says, Moses. Now, where do you see that narrative? Look at Deuteronomy 24 quickly. Deuteronomy 24 verse 1. Deuteronomy 24 verse 1. Deuteronomy 24 verse 1. We're looking at faith and what? Healing. Right? Say, this is my meeting. Say, this is my meeting. Say, I live here better. I live here stronger, more edified, and more aware of what I have in Christ Jesus. Look at Deuteronomy 24 verse 1. He says, when a man had taken a wife and he has married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he had found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a what? A bill of what? Divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's what? Wife. What did Jesus tell you about this? Moses, because of the state of the heart of the people he was relating with, he permitted, he allowed. Are we together? He allowed. But look at Jesus' answer in the real sense. Go back to Matthew 19. Look at Matthew 19, verse 4. So let's read Matthew 19, 4. So we've read when the Pharisees came to tempt him with the question. What was the question? In verse 3, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And verse 4 now says, he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the what? Beginning made them what? Male and female. So where is he expecting them to have read thoroughly? He expects that they should have read the beginning thoroughly. Are we together? Are we together? He now says, and he said, verse 5, for this cause shall a what? Shall a man leave father, mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the twin shall become what? One flesh. Are we together? We've looked at the concept of one flesh in our series on salvation. Are we together? Do you remember that concept? Ikad. Do you remember that? That speaks about unity. Right? Well, we'll look at that again. Yeah. So verse 6 says, wherefore they are no more twine, but one flesh. Look how it now says next. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Whatever God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Then they said that. So that was when they now asked him, so why did Moses now command that he should divorce? Are you understanding what is happening? Right? They're asking Jesus, okay, is it lawful for a man to put his wife aside? And they are trying to quote Moses to ask Jesus the question. Or they're trying to use Moses to defend their question. Right? But Moses said we should put away our wives. Yeah, if for instance, Deuteronomy 24, he says, if a man finds any form of uncleanness in her. Altogether. Then Jesus says, from the beginning, it was not what? So. He says, whatever God has joined together, let no man what? Pull asunder. So it means that God's concept for marriage from time has always been an everlasting concept. Right? Are we here? Are we here? God's concept of marriage from time has always been an everlasting concept. God's concept of marriage or regarding marriage has always been an everlasting concept. Now, that everlasting concept primarily refers to be Christ and the church. Are we together? We've done a lot of study on that, right? So, God, so let no man put asunder. You know, it's interesting how a lot of we believers, we teach how a man physically should not put his wife away physically, but we don't teach eternal salvation, right? But we teach that, so we teach that a man should not divorce. You know, right? Yeah, we teach that a man should not divorce, but eventually here's some set of people who now teach that God can divorce his bride. Altogether. So in such a teaching, what you end up realizing is that you've successfully said without saying that man is a better keeper of what man can hold on to or what man has in his fear than God. Are we together? Did you hear that? Yeah. So you teach about material or physical eternal bond of marriage, but you despise the eternal bond of the marriage between Christ and the church. Right, so you successfully without saying so it's loud enough in your saying without you saying it at all, right? That what man is able to keep things more than God, man is able to remain more faithful despite what his wife does. Are we together? Because, I mean, it requires a faithfulness of a man or the faithfulness of a woman to, irrespective of what the opposite person has done, to maintain the consistency of love. So it means that you are trying to teach one way or the other that man is a better love being than God. That's quite ridiculous, right? So he says that what? Wherefore, there are no more twain, but one of his sorrows, come quickly. Come quickly, come quickly, come quickly, come quickly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We cause every growth in your body now to dry from the root in the name of Jesus. Every growth dries right now in the name of Jesus. Every strange growth, every strange growth, every strange growth dries right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I just saw her. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Okay. Hallelujah. So, wherefore, they are no more twine, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. So, we see Jesus taking them back to the beginning. Did you get that? He said, from the beginning, it wasn't so. So, Luke 24, Jesus beginning at where? The beginning, that is what? Into bracket, what? Moses. All together. So, can you see Jesus' consistent way of teaching from the beginning? You can't miss it. All together. You can't miss it. Praise Jesus. So, Jesus says, go to the beginning. Now, where did we read that writing that Moses gave them? Deuteronomy. Are we together? What is Jesus saying? Don't jump to Deuteronomy. Start from where? The beginning. So, what were the Pharisees doing? Jumping to Deuteronomy. Right? So, what? That's why you now ask them, have you not anaginoscode? That is, have you not read comprehensively? And have you not seen a mode of learning or a mode of reading that requires starting from the beginning? How many of you start reading your books from the middle? I know I'm guilty of that. Are we together? Let me not even lie to you. I'm guilty of that, yeah? You can start reading a book from the beginning, or you start reading a book from the end. What is it really? What is it going to at the end? Let's just get there. You know, but it's not actually a very appropriate way of reading. All together, you know, if you read for an exam and you read the end, you only have the end score. Are we together? Yeah. But if you read from the beginning, and that's why, you know, it's a culture that we've imbibed from our school curriculum or school setting, where people just cherry pick what they think they want to read. No. So it means that listen to this carefully. It means that sometimes if you read from the middle of the writings of Moses, you might end up getting the middle conversation. What does that mean? It means that you might miss out on what was established before what is now written. Do you get what that means? Right? Because if you read Deuteronomy 24, right, you would have missed out on what the same Moses wrote in Genesis 1. You would have missed out on what the same Moses wrote in the entire book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Are we together? So, he says, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, he allowed you to put away your wives. From the beginning, it was not what? It wasn't so. Are we together? So, it means that there are certain things that we will read, or there are certain things that we will read in the real sense, and it is written because of the hardness of the heart of the people the author was speaking to. Did you get that? Did you get that? Yeah. So there are certain things you will read in the writings of Moses, and they are written that way because of the hardness of the heart of people. Now, the fact that they are written that way, right, doesn't mean that it is the entire truth. But is it in the Bible? Yes. Remember, I started teaching about the concept of when we say the Bible says. Remember? When we say it is written. What do we really say? What do we really mean? And we're trying to establish how, when we say the Bible says, to establish a doctrinal stance, we don't just start from a text, or we are not just talking about a text, but we're talking about a text, if possible, and the stance of that text in reference to the entire what? Scriptures. Are we here? Are we here? So, it means that the Bible has to be read holistically. The Bible has to be read within mood. The Bible has to be read from the beginning to the end. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1, quickly. The Bible has to be read from the beginning to the end. The Bible has to be read from the beginning to the end. 2 Peter 1. Look at 2 Peter 1. Are you there? Look at what it says in verse 20. Knowing this first, are you there? 2 Peter 1, 20. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of what? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any what? Private interpretation. No prophecy of the scripture is of any what? Private interpretation. Look at verse 21. For the prophecies came not in old time by the will of what? Man. Are we together? But holy men of God spake as they were what? Moved by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. Are we together? So there is no prophecy of scriptures that has a private what? Interpretation. Right? Are we here? So it means there is no portion of scripture that has an independent interpretation. What does that really mean? It really means that in the real sense, when we read prophecies in scriptures, we must view them in the holistic view of the entire Bible. Are we together? Are we together? We must view prophecies with an holistic view of the entire Bible. So, you know, we started explaining a few things last year. And we're trying to speak about how to study scriptures. I think that was last year or 2 years ago. Investigating scriptures, series 1 and 2. We paused in series 3b. We should do series 4 soon. Yeah, but we're able to establish a few things. And one of the things we established was the fact that there is such a thing as the immediate context. Are we here? The immediate context and what? What's the word? The surrounding context and the what? General concept. Because I'm doing my like this. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, so we spoke about how there is the immediate context and there is the general, like you would say, or overall context of the Bible. Right? So, whilst there will be some immediate context that needs to be applied to certain texts of the scriptures, there are some contexts that you will need the overall knowledge of the Bible. Let me give you a quick example, for instance. Yeah, you start from Genesis 3 to see the use of serpents. Right? Serpent as corny, as deceptive. Are we together? And we started explaining on Wednesday. You know, I said something on Wednesday's teaching is too important for this. Did I say that? Did I say it? Beautiful. So, we said on Wednesday that in the real sense, when Adam was calling names of animals, you will first see names as functions. Are we together? Are we together? Remember we said something. Adam did not speak Hebrew. Abi, you know, Noah did not speak Hebrew. Cain did not speak Hebrew. Are we together? So whatever you call Adam in Hebrew is a translation of something. Are we together? Because Adam's name was not Adam. I hope you've heard that one now. Adam's, his name, Cain's, he wasn't there. Are we together? Right? In fact, think about it first. Let's even assume those were their names, but that's, they were not speaking English. Are we together? So we spoke about how when Adam will be calling animals, he will call animals or he will speak with in regards to what? Functions. That's why the first mention of an animal after Adam had called animals or had given them names was what they're called. Kara. Kara. Are we together? The first mention of animal, you see it as a function, which is what? Deception. Are we together? Are we together? So the immediate context of Genesis 3:1, and now the serpent was born something that all the beasts of the field, right? In the real sense, it's teaching about deception and subtlety. Now, the general concept of the serpent, if you read through scriptures, you see how the serpent as a phrase or as a word is used. You now get to Matthew 16 when he says that word, I have sent you forth as sheep, who are as what? Harmless as what? Doves. In the midst of what? Wolves. Who are as what? Wise as what? Serpent. So you as a sheep, you are not serpent. So can you see consistency of serpent in Genesis 3? Matthew 16. Then in case you are not sure, just get to Revelation 12 verse 9. And the old serpent, Satan the devil. In case you want to miss Revelation 12, don't miss Revelation 22. That old serpent, the great dragon, Satan, the what? The devil. So can you see overall context? So we bring a definite face, right? So in the real sense, it means that when you go backwards and see serpents, listen carefully. When you go backwards and see serpents, you will first see serpents from an angle of function, and you will see it has to do with the work of the devil. So it means that when John now tells you, as Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, he's not telling you that Jesus is the serpent. Did you get that? Because the overall context of serpent will not support anything positive. To now summarize your faith,
are you here? To now summarize the entirety of your faith, the person who gives you the faith you call faith, as the serpent Moses lifts head up, that's trouble. Did you get that? But in the real sense, it says, as Moses lifted up, yeah, so in the real sense, where you see Jesus is in the lifting up. I've taught it before, right? Yeah, so the concept of lifting up, which will be in the word resurrection, right? So serpents will not be used for Jesus as well as the devil. You get that, right? So we're trying to establish certain principles in scriptures, certain context or certain explanation. Look at Matthew 6. Matthew 6, faith and healing seminar. Matthew 6, verse 33. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. I know you know that already, right? And what? All. Say all. These things shall be what? Added unto you. So, to know what all we mean, read it in the context of what? All. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So know the all things Paul speaks about, reading in the context of the writing, the context of the word, or the context of the letter, so to say. Alright, no, that's fine. So, Matthew 6, 33. So, when you now read from verse 33 of Matthew 6, you now go to chapter 7 of verse 1. And it says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, and with what measure ye meet, rather, it shall be measured to you again. He now says in verse 7, ask, and it shall be given to you. You know, verse 33 of Matthew 6 says, seek. Are you there? Is it not seek? Seek ye first the what? Now, chapter 7 now says, ask, and it shall be what? Given. Seek, and you shall find. So it means that if you go back to Matthew 6, when it says seek, ideally, you should what? Find. All together. So when it says, but ye seek, and seek ye first the kingdom of God, when you seek it, you will what? Find. That's what it tells in the next chapter. He now tells you, knock, and it shall be what? He now tells you in verse 8, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be what? He now says, or what man is there of you, whom if the son should ask for bread, will give him stone? Are we together? Are we together? If your child should ask you for bread, can you give him stone? He now says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give what? Good things to them that ask him. Are we together? So the concept of asking, the concept of seeking, the concept of knocking, is a concept that is explained in a context of Matthew 6 and Matthew 7. Are we together? Are we together? So we now see Luke. Look at Luke 11. Look at Luke 11, 9. Are you in Luke 11? Are you in Luke 11? Look at Luke 11, verse 9. What does it say? It says what? Are you in Luke 11, 9? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be what? Given you. Seek, you shall what? Knock, the door shall be what? Is that the same thing we read in Matthew 7? Beautiful. Look at verse 10. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, what? Findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be what? Now, if a son shall ask bread from his father, will he give him stone? Is that the same thing we read? Verse 12, or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him scorpion? Is that the same thing we read? Now, look at it in verse 13, where we are going to. It says, if ye then, being evil, know how to what? Give good gifts. Check your Bibles. Check your Bibles. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? Now, is he comparing heavenly father and physical father? He's not comparing, no. He's not comparing. Are we together? He's not comparing. Now look at it again. If he then, being evil, know how to give good. He's just saying that a father should know how to give good things. In the real sense, this is what a physical father would give. This is what a heavenly father would give. He's not comparing what a physical father would give. Because in the real sense, the way poverty is dawning on some people, right? They will prefer the physical father's giving than the heavenly father. Is it not true? Let's take what we can see. Is that not true? Let's take this one. You say, Father will give us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, that when you enter me, I will not know what change. Is this going to fill my stomach? I'll still have the Holy Spirit and be looking for how to go and labor. Give me the one I can see now. You know, there are some believers that you can look at them and tell them, I'll give you $1 million. Let me, you know, some of you said, they're looking at me with strange eyes. Your pastor can come and give you $1 million a check. I say, Sister Esther, choose one. $1 million a check, or let me lay hands on you. I said, you were laughing at somebody else. See, Sister Esther, see an example. I should lay hands on your head with the $1 million. Can you see? Can you see eternal? Can you see eternal realities? Yeah. Sister Esther would just think, hey, $1 million. That's tough. You laid hands on me before. and the gift of God is without repentance. That one will see me through. Do you understand? So in the real sense, it will put you in trouble if you see it as a concept of comparison. An average man wants to see something physical. Altogether. So he now tells you in Luke 11, look at how he ends it there. He says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the what? Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to them that what? Ask him. Are we together? So look at Matthew 7 again. Matthew 7. Matthew 7. So, look at Matthew 7 again. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Father which is in heaven give what? Good things to them that ask. Now, what did Luke call the good things? The Holy Spirit. Are we together? So, the Holy Spirit is that good thing that the Heavenly Father gives. Are we together? So, he says, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Ghost to them that what? Ask. What did he say about asking? Ask, you shall what? Receive. Seek, you shall what? Find. Knock, you shall be what? Open unto you. So it means that if you now backtrack to Matthew 6, when it says seek ye first kingdom of God, you can replace seek ye first to ask about the kingdom of God. Altogether. You can also replace it with knock about the kingdom of God. Let's do that for English language. Right. So what is the concept? When you ask, when you seek, you what? You receive, you find. So it means, so what is that thing you will find when you ask about the kingdom of God in Matthew 6:33? The good gift that the Heavenly Father gives, which is what? The Holy Spirit. Are we together? So men will give you fish, men will give you bread, men will give you egg, but in the root says God will give you himself and give you, that is, give you his Spirit. Are we together? So can you see how we contextually read Matthew 6 by contextually reading Matthew 7 and contextually reading Luke 11? Are we together? You know, I wonder if you have tried to explain Matthew 6 to someone before and just take them to Luke 11 and it shuts the whole case. I've done it several people. Bible says seek. You know, in fact, there was this particular person. You know, Bible says that God feeds the lilies of the valley. How do you say it again? He gives food to the birds. He gives how much you? You are worth more than a bird to God. But in the real sense, is that true? Yes. But is it God that leads the bird to where the food is? Is it God that brings the food to the mouth of the bird? So if you can look at that concept in the eyes of bed, it should work for you too. Are we together? So, yes, yeah, so he closed the lilies of the valley, he feeds this, he does, how much more you? That's why it's telling you. See, you don't have to be a Christian to have these things as needs. That's why it tells you in the previous verse, Matthew 6. You don't have to be a Christian to have these needs. They are legitimate needs. Are we together? But there is such a thing a believer should pay attention to, or there's such a thing a man should pay attention to, or there's such a thing that God expects a man to pay attention to. So, does God meet your needs? Yes. So, at the end of the day, you go back, now go to Matthew 7, or Matthew 7, oh, ask whatever you ask God. Ask him anything. Close your eyes. Oh, Lord, I receive $1 billion contract. Just like that. Money doesn't happen just like that. I hope you know that by now. Money doesn't dawn on people just like that. There is something you must see. There's an opportunity you must venture in. The one you venture, you will lose. It's part of what you must venture in. It's all part of what? Life. It's not everything you ask for that you will get. Let me even say it this way. So even when it says, ask, you shall receive. You know, by the time you finish asking, oh, I ask. He now says, receive with thanksgiving. Oh, I receive everything I've asked for. It cannot be an absolute thing of anything about life. Are we together? So, guys, see how we look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 26 or 28. Ephesians 4, 28. Are you there? Are you in Ephesians 4, 28? See what it says. It says, let him that what? Is that, who is he talking to? Who is he talking to? A thief now. Eh? What you call ole. Alright? Right? A thief. Somebody, let me show you how somebody read this verse. A pastor. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needed. Dear saints, we don't work for a living, we work for a giving. We don't work for a living, we work because he says, let him labor so that he may what? Give. He don't work for a living. Are you a thief? Because that's the only way to justify that explanation. Because the verse, you don't need to read the pretext. You know, you say pre-verse, post-verse. You don't need to read pre-verse. Just read that context. Let him that stole steal no more. Let that him, not you, him, that is the thief, except you qualify as a thief. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him labor, having to what? Give. You know, you don't work for a living. You don't work for a living. You work for a giving. Is that real? Then you now blend it back now with what givers never lack. You see, it's not hard to teach error. You see how it flows. It overlap. It just flows. And that's the truth. Because I just say, you don't give. I said, wow. And you know, the Bible tells you that givers never lack. I hope you know givers do lack. I hope you say yes. I've not heard your voice today. It's at that point that voice was out. Givers do lack. Oh, I'm a testimony. I'm a living testimony. I'm also a giving testimony. I'm both living and giving. Be careful. I want to get that. So, let him that's too. So, context is almost everything about our Christian faith. It's almost everything about our Christian faith. Yeah. So let him that stole steal no more, let him have. So what was Paul teaching? Repent from stealing. So he was teaching decency. Is that true? Dignity of labor. Is that right? Is that not right? What again was he teaching? Generosity, you got it. He got, so eventually, he's teaching generosity to a thief. Are we together? And that's why the concept of, you know, no matter how you get to money, once it comes to the altar, it's sanctified. You know, the word there, holy, is set aside. So, once you put it on the altar, it's already set, no matter where it's coming from. Let him that steal or stole steal no more. Let him labor. His hand says a good thing. Look at it there. He says, let him labor. So, in case you want to use labor as figure of speech, Abby, is that what they look at it now? He says, let him labor. He now tells you, my labor means what? Working with his hands the things which is what? Good, that he may what? Have to give he that what? Needed. Are we together? So, in the real sense, when it comes to Bible study, we need to pay attention to context. We're trying to build a foundation, right? This is just an introduction. Look at Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. I'm sure some of us know that this book of the law shall not what? Part from thy mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. Do you know that the Jewish guys actually could quote scriptures from back to back? Do you know that? Do you know that? Okay, I'm supposed to teach this under the name of Jesus. Do you know that Paul could quote scriptures at the time he was persecuting the church. I hope you know that too. It's not after that revelational light he now knew there was something called scriptures. As a culture, the Pharisees, are we together, could quote scriptures back to back. So when you see Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate. So it means that they had a culture of meditating on the scriptures. Now we're here. What would scriptures be as at Joshua? Genesis to what? The writings of Moses. What did Joshua say they should do with the writings of Moses day and night? Meditate. So, how many books? Maximum 5. Day and night. Now we have 6 books. We want to do 45 minute service. Do you understand? 45 minute service twice a week. That's all for the week. Look at it again now. It says, let this book of the law not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. So Joshua will say, study day and night, 5 books. Jesus will do 40 days teaching, 39 books. What are we now to do? Do you understand? 5 books, meditate day and night. Jesus does 40 days teaching, 39 books. Now we have how many books? 66 books. So, as Christians, we can't afford to be buruburu to the answer. You know what buruburu is? You know what it is, right? No, that is Latin. It's not Greek. Yeah? The Latin word for what? Quick. Yeah? You know, Pastor, you know, we just wanted to come and just, you know, let's just give God high praise. You know, want to give him high praise. You know, Pastor, you just come and stretch for your hand and give us the blessing for the week. Pastor, just come, oh, you are blessed in Christ. When person diverted, you say, by 11, my pastor is already done. And it's 11, you're saying, 11, he has not even said finally. 11:30, he has not said finally. 11:45, he has not said finally. And you still be smiling. Tell your neighbor, you still join pastor and smile. But you know, this is the last time you see me here. This is the last time you see me here. Just smile the last smile. Are we together? You know, and sometimes, most times, more often than not, is because of hunger. You know, I'd rather you eat on Sunday morning than form holy pastor and come here and your stomach is dancing. And some of you, if they move close to you, thank God there's COVID now. If they move close to you, you'll be hearing. No, because the truth, worms looking for what to eat, only your stomach. I would rather that you eat in the morning on Sunday. I grew up with a practice. How many of you grew up with that practice? I don't know how to eat on Sunday. I'll learn. I grew up not knowing how to eat on Sunday. Do you understand? So it's almost so at least I know that once a week I'm fasting. And it's not on gas strike, I'm doing things spiritual. Ah, gracious Father. Yeah, because most Sundays, the earliest I eat on a Sunday, maybe 2-3. Abby? 2-3. And me too, I know myself. Because I know how I rush home. To eat is human. It's human, it's not spiritual, it's not a spiritual attack. Yeah, so so there are some people you know they are early to the Christian faith. When you preach to them, just choke your stomach. I like Sister Rose. I like Sister Rose. Sometimes I don't be driving sessions. I'll see Sister Rose putting crackers and malt. No, because she knows her pastor. I have to get that. Those that know their pastor, they do valiantly. That's it. So sometimes I just look at that. Why is she treating me like that? Because she's sending a message to me without knowing. Are we together? Yeah. So some of those people, there are people you know, they are new to the Christian faith, people that just got born again. Sunday is a good day to feast and watch, you know. Just tell them, just load your stomach, just throw something inside and bring water bottle. Just bring water or anything. What goes, I put glucose because I hear for the word. But in the real sense, Joshua says, study the word day and night. Jesus did 40 days back to back. No. And what do you call it? Gymnastics. No extracurricular activities to make it. Do you understand? So it means that as church, as a church, that was what the apostles saw that now became apostles' doctrine. Are we together? And that's the template for the local church and the universal church as a whole. Are we together? Yeah, so it's not all this one. Quickly, all I need is in him. Praise God. Have a lovely week. So we are to be what? Students. That means we would have extensive meetings. Extensive meetings. Extensive meetings. Extensive meetings. Praise Jesus. So Jesus will teach in that way, and you will see that that is what produces solid believers. You know, it's not extensive teachings that make you saved. You know that already now. Yeah? So, but what does extensive teaching do to you? It makes you aware of what you've been saved into. So, if you look at Luke 24, when Jesus began, look at Luke 24 again. So, he says, and then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe, all the prophets have spoken. He says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to what? Enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. Now, the word they expounded is the word that means what? Die Emmanuel. Proof of that of over time. I would say it's a word that means to translate whilst interpreting. Remember that? Remember that? Do you remember that? No, you don't. Yeah? We said the word Emmanuel, so the word there, die, Emmanuel, die is two. Are we together? Right? So die is two, Emmanuel. So you are translating from one language to another language whilst you supply interpretation. So Jesus, the Emmanuel, die Emmanuel, right? Are we together? Because Jesus was explaining the Hebrew Bible to a Greek world. Are we together? Are we together? So Jesus did a lot of what? Translations while interpretation. Remember, the Bible was written in what? Hebrew. And what? Greek by extension. And you have some Aramaic. Are we together? But you know that it wasn't Hebrew that was translated to English. I've thought that before, right? It was first translated to what? Latin. So it is Latin that you now get your English. So imagine the numbers of languages that your Bible has gotten to before it got to English. Altogether. So it means that there's such a thing as paying attention to the language that is what? Used. There's such a thing as paying attention to the language of the Bible. See, there's such a thing as paying attention to the language of the Bible. So that's why you see, look at John 5. Look at John 5. John 5, 39. Are you there? John chapter 5, verse 39. Are you there? If you are there, say, I'm there. No. John 5, 39. Let's all go there. John 5, 39. He says, search the scriptures, that is, ye search. Okay. Look at verse 38. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. So can you see the consistent of ye? Okay, look at verse 37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his what? Shape. And ye, so can you see the consistent of you? Ye? Can you see it? So you see ye in 37. Can you see ye in 38? Ye have not what? Ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he had sent, him ye believe not. So when he now says, search the scriptures, for in them ye, so it means that he's talking to definite people. So that means a good way to read 39 is ye. Did you see that? Yeah, did you see that? So you can say, ye search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have. Did you get that? So they search the scriptures, in them they thought they had what? Eternal life. Now, you see, the reason why we go back to Greek words, because, you know, without going back to Greek words, you will not know that the eternal life there are two different Greek words. We've explained that over in church, right? Yeah? So, but what a lot of us do is qualify that exact phrase as a single word, which is what? Zoe. Are we together? Right? And we've explained over time that Zoe is not the life of God. Zoe is not the life of Christ. It's not the life of... It's just life. I've explained and done a few study to show that the word life has been used for even the general life in which we live in. Right? So what qualifies the Zoe there to be the life of God is going to be the Ainos that is before the Zoe. And the word Ainos is a word that means without beginning and end. Are we together? Or never to cease. Are we together? So in the real sense, so the word eternal, it says, shall have what? Eternal life. So the word eternal life will refer to like a life of an age to come, or an existing life that will never come to an end, or that will never cease. So that is the phrase that qualifies this way. So for John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gives him question, that whosoever believes in him shall not what? Perish, but have what? Ainos, Zoe. Not shall not perish, but have Zoe. No, Ainos, Zoe. So eternal life, that is the eternal, qualifies the kind of life. Are we together? Are we together? We've paid attention to that in previous days. So if you look at verse 49, 46, he says, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Now, let's go back to Wednesday's teaching, okay? On Wednesday, we started explaining God's promise as a what? God's promise as a what? Land. Are we together? So did we say God's promise to Abraham was a land? Is that the promised land? Is that the promised land? Was that the same promise to Isaac and Jacob? We saw it in scriptures. And we said God is the land now, the Shaddai, right? The Almighty, right? So God is the land. So God promised himself as a land to what? Abraham. So Jesus now tells you, says, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me for what he wrote of me. So it means that when you see, it makes me to lie down in green pastures. Would that deal with a land that has pasture? Look at Psalm 23 now. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Are we together? Remember, when we're looking at leading of the spirits, right? We came into an explanation about the pasture that is found in the I am the way, I am the door. Are we together? There's a pasture that the sheep feeds on. Are we together? Are we together? So there is such a pasture. So in God's promised land, there is pasture. What is the pasture? Himself. So he is the pastor. Look at it. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? I shall not what? Want. He makes me to what? Lie down in green pastures. So will pasture refer to the land God promised? What do you think you find in the land? Look at the last line there. Surely goodness and what? Mercies. Mercy follows me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, so you know that David, in the real sense, has what as his Bible? Moses' writings. So it means that you will find this conversation in Moses' writing. Look at Exodus. Exodus 33. Exodus 33:18. We're looking at faith and healing. We're trying to lay a foundation on Bible interpretation so it makes us or it helps us to see a few things tomorrow whilst we study. Look at Exodus 33, verse 18. Exodus 33, verse 18. Are you there? So what it says? It says, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. So, show me thy glory was Moses' cry. He show me your glory, the cry of the believer. The show me your glory of Moses, is that your cry as a believer? Look at verse 19 again. He says, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the what? The name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will what? Show mercy unto whom I will show mercy. So can you see goodness there? In verse 19? Can you see goodness there? So what does God give? Goodness. What does he give? Goodness and what? Mercy. Look at 20. Let's read 20 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And he said, thou canst see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. We've done a study on this before, right? We've done a study on this before. And in the real sense, is There shall no man see me and not live. Chaya, that word there, live, is a life, is a kind of life that deals with a forever kind of life. Right? So he already told you what he offers in verse 19, which is what? Goodness and what? Graciousness and what? Mercy. Now, goodness, graciousness, mercy, which of them suggests killing? Goodness, graciousness, mercy, which of them suggests killing? All of them. None of them. Are we together? So none of them suggests killing. So if what God gives is goodness, graciousness, and mercy, it means that when man sees him, he should see what? Goodness, graciousness, and mercy. So it means that that phrase, when he says you shall die, you know, it means that he's not going to kill, because what he supplies is what? Goodness, graciousness, and mercy. Yeah, so I remember, was it in what happened in 3 days we did this study? Was it? Where you now say, I'll hide you in the cliff of the rock? Was it 3 days? Oh, lovely. So that's recent. Altogether. So the books of the Bible are to be read holistically. Now, we just read Psalm 23 and saw David's foundation in Exodus. Altogether. So in the land that God supplies himself as pastor. So what is God's pasture in his land? His grace, his goodness, and his what? Mercy. So what are we eating as pasture in the land of God? His grace, his goodness, his mercy. Is that God himself? Is that his spirit? Is that his bread? I hope we're here. Is that his blood? Is that his water? Right? So in Bible study, we need to pay attention to the language of the Bible. We need to pay attention to the holistic view of the Bible. Or we need to pay attention to the holistic concept or the holistic context of the Bible. Right? So the fundamental audience of Moses, they were Hebrews. Is that true? Were they Hebrews? Okay, the people that Moses taught or spoke to, were they Yoruba? Were they Igbo? They were not. Altogether. So he spoke to them in their language. Remember, Moses was born in Exodus 1, 2, 3. Are we together? So Moses was not there in throughout Genesis. But Moses now wrote Genesis to an Exodus audience. He will use their language. Imagine I came here and I'm speaking French. Will he gel? Imagine I just came and you just French and you're speaking. Will you comprendre aujourd'hui aussi? Et de vous three. This life is good to know something though. One of my colleagues in office was, I said, I could speak French. Small French, on the track. I said, I know. I could speak French. She too said she could speak French. I started conversing. So I started with the ones that I know are clear. JTM, whatever. I just said some things. Wow, so you speak French? I said, well. And I said, tout level, as he. I said, well, what does that mean? Wow, you really speak French? I said, don't worry. I just said nonsense. Does that not sound like a French man? I always get it, but the concept is this. You will not come and celebrate or create a distinction, or you will speak in a language that people will understand. That is why we say something. God communicates in what? Human language. Have I said that before? Over time, we've talked about that, right? God communicates in human language. So God will tolerate man's language to communicate his thoughts to man. Did you get that? God will tolerate. So there are lots of things you see in the Bible that God tolerated. Not because he's the one that instigated. He tolerated, but it is just a way to communicate his thoughts to man. So God doesn't speak Hebrew. Or let me say it this way. God's language is not Hebrew. Did you get that? God's language is not what? Yoruba. God's language is not Igbo. God's language is not French. So there is no language that makes you closer to God. Are we together? There is no language that makes you closer to God. And God doesn't speak tongues as well. You know that, right? God doesn't communicate to man. Imagine if that's how we got to. when you see a believer say, and thus says the Lord, Ifraka, that's the believer. I hope you know. And thus says the Lord of hosts, is for a prophet Kishka, that is the believer. The Lord of hosts, wait for the wait for the interpretation. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. So in the real sense, Moses will write to a Hebrew or a Hebrew generation, a Hebrew context, or Hebrew people rather, that understood Hebrew. Right? So when Moses was born, he spoke Hebrew. He will write Hebrew. Are we together? Then use Hebrew words to explain what he's writing. So Genesis 1, fundamentally is in Hebrew. Yes. Was Adam speaking Hebrew? No. Did you get that? So it means that Adam and Noah, when you trace their translation, they are Hebrew names. Are you here? But they did not bear Hebrew names. Because Hebrew, as a culture, is an offshoot of the father Abraham. Are we together? So Moses will speak Hebrew language and write about Genesis, or write a book of Genesis in Hebrew. Are we together? So it means that Adam as a name is a translation. Is that true? That means Noah. So Noah is first two translations. Or fundamentally, Noah is two translations. If you go a step back of Noah, what do you find? Hebrew. If you go a step back of Hebrew, what do you find? Eh? What do you find now? What is it? Is it? The original. That's it now. So, what you call Noah today was first translated from the original. Because I don't know what Adam spoke. Are we together? Yeah, I don't know what he spoke. I don't know his languages. I've not seen it in scriptures yet. Maybe we find it in First Chronicles. You can show me tomorrow. But Adam did not speak Hebrew. Hebrew is an offshoot from the Abrahamic lineage. But Moses will now use that language to communicate truths that were before the language. Do you get that? Do you get that? Do you get that? So it means that Moses will employ heavy translation while interpreting to his people. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. What I'm trying to explain this evening, diamanio, which involves what? Translating while interpreting. Don't forget that. Say translating. Say translating while interpreting. Say we've been called into the ministry of interpretation of scriptures. Whilst we do that, say whilst we do that, we would have to translate. Are we together? Look at Acts 9:36, for instance. Let's see an example of that. So, saints, will Moses use figure of speech? Now, will Moses use Hebrew? What phrase should I use now? Will Moses use Hebraic? No. What's the word? What's the phrase? Will Moses use... Okay, is it correct? Let me see. When I say it, it's you that said it. So, will Moses use Hebrew figure of speech? Is that correct? Okay. So, will Moses use Hebrew... Why am I looking for something ick? So, will Moses use Hebrew figure of speech to teach non-Hebrew things? Okay, let me say it this way. You now got it. So, will Moses use Hebrew figure of speech to teach a Hebrew generation non-Hebrew things? Do you understand? So he will communicate truths in the Hebrew language. So he will use heavy Hebrew figure of speech to communicate. So it means that when you now read Genesis chapter 1, you will see lots of literals. Are we together? Are we together? What will you see first, or what will you see predominantly in Moses' writings? Figures now. It will be lots of figures first. Are we together? Now, did God create the universe? You know, some people, when they hear or say this, they say, "Ah, should I say God did not create the universe? You're an atheist. What you just all this new knowledge, new breed knowledge? Yeah, how can you say light and day? Now I look for trouble on Wednesday. Abi, how can you say day and night is not afternoon and evening? You say day and night is people. How? Where did you see people beside it? You're looking for trouble. Yeah, so God created the heavens and earth. Did God create the first human? Whether Adam is not the first human or Adam is the first human, I was not there. I was together. But Moses is communicating a truth using certain names to a certain people. altogether. And that now came in when we're teaching about the image of God. We're talking about how the image of God is Selem. You remember that? And it's a concept that the Hebrew guys understand. Are we together? And they had several gods. Are we together? So we'll now see Selem. We'll see Selem as a unifier, or in the real sense, we'll see it as the image of God, which is Christ, fundamentally. But in the real sense, so in God's Selem, there's male and female. You get that? So Selem will be a unifier, just like Ikad, of one flesh, to speak about a male and fish, or male and female as a pair. Did you get that? So male and female will be a pair in the image of God, all together. So in God's kingdom, Christ, and so he uses that to teach about the concept of what you call the Trinity. Yeah, so the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost will be a pair in one. You get that? So that's what you now call as one flesh. There's a lot we'll study, but just take it easy on yourself, okay? So in the real sense, God created the... Was there a beginning? Yes. Did God create heaven and earth? Yes. Your heaven is sky? Yes. Did he create it? Yes. You understand? Did he create it? Yes. He did. The birds, did he create it? Yes. Light, did he create it? Yes. So. But not NEPA. Yeah, NEPA is man-made, right? PCN is man-made. Gen light is man-made. Fully man. I was scared that. Yeah. But there are things that God, did God create the first man and woman on earth? Yes. There's not really trying to understand who slept with who. You know, Cain slept with his sister to give birth to. There's no need trying to. Do you want to marry your sister? Is that what you are looking? Is that what you want to explain? Is that the conclusion you want to get with your explanation? If you want to marry, say, just say it, who are. Do you understand? I have my sister that I want to marry you. Don't start coming to come and say, you know, Abraham married his sister, Abraham married his cousin, his half sister, either half senior sister, anything you want to do on your own. But you know, the Bible doesn't really. Come and pour holy water on me. I'm not going to say what you want to hear, because not for my mouth they will hear that dog born to 15 die. You know what that means? A dog born to 15 die. How? I'm not sure last week we named two child. I say 15 of them are dead. You are looking for palliative. So Acts 9:36. See an example of translation in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Now there was a Joppa, a certain disciple named what? Tabitha, which by... Now, when we say which by interpretation, are we safe to say which by translation is Dorcas? Are we safe? Your name is Ayo. By translation, Ayo is what? Joy. Are we together? So, look, can you see Acts 9? It tells you, it says what? Now there was a Joppa, a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. He now says, this woman was full of God's work and alms deed which she did. So, there's Hebrew, there's Greek, there's Aramaic in the apostles' day. Remember we said, Jesus will do a lot of translation while interpreting. Will the apostles follow suit? Do we ought to follow suit? Beautiful. Lovely. All together. Look at Nehemiah 8. I'll close here.
Excuse me.
Look at Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5. Are you there? Are you there? Nehemiah 8:5. That's after Ezra. Sister Willie, you are closer to Revelation than Ezra. Look at it. Where is she? Is that? Is somebody saying that? Is that not Philemon? Yeah, it's Philemon, sister. So she's laughing. So let's help Sister Esther, even though I'm trying to help some of you as well. So Nehemiah is after Ezra. Ezra is before Psalm, Sister Esther. You still don't say you see. Can you help me check where she is? Where is she? I'm there. Are you there? You know, you do it now. If you are there, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I still hear through. So who is the people? Who are the people that are still? Look at Nehemiah 8:5. Are you there really, really, truly? Okay, that's fine. Nehemiah 8 verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord and the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, you know, you always jump this, right? We'll read it together. Shabithiah, Odijah, Messiah, Kelita, Azariah, Josabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the what? Law. And the people stood in their place. So they what? They read in the book in the law of God extensively and gave sense, right? And caused them to understand the reading. Is that interpretation? Is that causing them to understand? Is that interpretation? Yeah, you know, look at verse 9. Let's read verse 9 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Nehemiah, which is a Theshatta, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord our God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweat, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither is sorrow, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. Look at verse 11. And so the Levites stilled at the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day of the day is holy, neither ye be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and to make great meat, because they had understood the word that was declared unto them. Is that by interpretation? They understood by interpretation, right? All together. And on the second day, they gathered together the chief priest and the fathers of the Levites, the priest, the Levite, unto Ezra the scribe, even to what? Understand. Understand. So can you see an example of a translation or an interpreter that involves translation in the book of Nehemiah? Are you here this evening? I hope you learned a few things. Don't get discouraged. We're teaching about faith and healing. Praise God. It's all Bible study. If you like, we discourage yourself. Isaiah. Star Willie, join us to open. That's what some of you like Bible phone Bible. Sharp. You know the environment is within. And if it's not there, you know. That's why they will tell you, open to Nahum, and you take his question. Nahum be that. Yeah, who had believed our report? 53. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He now says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry land. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are what? Let's read verse 6 together. 1, 2, 3, go. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity. Now we're looking at faith and healing. Are we together? So it means that as a Bible student, you need to pay attention to the interpretation of Isaiah 53. Now, whilst paying attention to the interpretation, you would as well pay attention to translations of words. Are we together? While paying attention to that, you pay attention to the use of words. Are we here? You pay attention to the use of words. You pay attention to how the words are used in their language. So it means that as students of God's word, as students of Christ, we need to pay attention to scriptures just the way Jesus paid attention to scriptures. And how did he pay attention to scriptures? Beginning. At the what? Beginning. Praise God. So it means that we want to understand by stripes we are healed. For instance, we need to go back to the beginning. Are we together? It means that we need to find it in the beginning. Now Matthew 15 now tells you. He says, go ye therefore and preach, or go and preach, right, the gospel. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be what? Condemned. He says these what? Signs shall follow. So it means that there are signs that need to follow believers or people who have believed. Are we together? Are we together? But the signs are not the big deals. Let me say this way. The miraculous, is it beautiful? It's lovely to say the miraculous. See, if anybody that despises the miraculous, you see, a man can despise the miraculous when he is in dear need of it. You know, but a Christian faith, whilst it has the miraculous, is not about the miraculous. Altogether. So we have the miraculous as an addendum. You know, there is no healing that you can't do without the name of Jesus. I hope you know they've brought back dead people to life. You know, but things are happening. Plenty of things are happening. How do you know the song, man? Are we together? Yeah, but the truth is that whilst we have signs that accompany, while we have signs that, you know, that we see, we experience, we don't build a nest around it. We don't build a nest around it. Yeah, we have to understand the theology behind signs. And we will find that in the what? Beginning. So we're going to start that study tomorrow by 12. Okay, see you by 12 tomorrow afternoon. Have a lovely night, everyone.